You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 253, entitled, How to Improve Your Social Skills, Conversations, Relationships, and Confidence, I chat with Mike MacAPinlack. Mike MacAPinlack is a social skills coach and the founder of Social Confidence Mastery. In today's episode, Mike talks about the four keys to improving your social skills and becoming a better communicator. He talks about the importance of learning the art of communication and why this is a rapidly dying skill for so many, especially for those in the STEM world, science, technology, engineering, and math. Mike covers a lot in this episode and shares some really practical and helpful tools for just about anyone needing a boost in their social game. If you're wondering how to improve your social confidence, relationships, and actually social skills themselves, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Here's the truth. There are currently 450 million people globally who at any given minute harbor mental illness. Of these 450 million sufferers, 800,000 each year can no longer endure their mental affliction any further and end up taking their own lives. It's a sad but harsh reality of the world we live in. Far too many people are living unhappy lives and far too many people are dying because of it. This epidemic has to stop. But thus far, the studies only indicate that it's getting worse. We all know someone who has committed suicide, and for some of us, we may even know several individuals who have. It's a true tragedy in every sense of the word when we get that call, read that text, or see that social media post and wonder, what if, to ourselves. Suicide is the epitome of wasted talent and the quintessence of heartache. It has to stop. And it will. Elite Mind gives readers the precise tools to defeat their mental woes. Whether their fight is suicide or whether it's depression or whether it's the anxiety that's overthrown their day-to-day psyche, Elite Mind gives step-by-step strategies for mental mastery. For those needing eternal reprieve from their mental anguish, this book is a godsend. But Elite Mind's effect doesn't stop there. For as many millions of people as there are dealing with clinical mental illness, there are many millions more just floating by in life. The countless millions, perhaps even billions, who drift through life bored, lethargic and unhappy, it's almost as if they have no pulse, but in fact they do. They want to change and they want to have a life they actually enjoy. They're simply unaware of how to snap out of their self-imposed spell. Perhaps this sounds like you. If so, Elite Mind is the antidote you need. Through its compendium of action-packed strategies for success, distinctly exhilarating first-person narratives, and uproariously funny accounts of exemplary tales of mischief and adventure, Elite Mind will keep you on the edge of your seat while imparting the wisdom you need for change. Elite Mind not only shows you how to get back in the game, but how to thrive when you do. It guides you into unleashing your inner confidence, finding your true purpose, and cultivating happiness in life that you've only experienced in your wildest dreams. Elite Mind is the perfect blend of narrative allure and practical how-to. It takes the ordinarily mundane topic of mental health and entertains and excites you while simultaneously informing you and giving you a real-world account of how to win the battle with your mind and create the life you've always wanted. If you want to end your anxiety or depression, get this book. If you want to unleash your inner confidence, get this book. If you want to arm yourself with the tools needed to live an extraordinary life full of happiness and success, get this book. Stop wasting your time and life and order this book today. Pre-order right now. If you do like the Kindle copy, get it right now, elitemanmagazine.com/elitemind, or mark your calendars for January 28th, 2020, just a couple of short months away when you can actually get your hands on the paperback copy or listen to the audiobook. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from elitemanmagazine.com, and my guest today is my good friend Mike MacAPinlack from socialconfidencemastery.com. Mike, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Justin, thank you so much for having me, man. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Is this the second or third go-around for the show?
I think it's our third one.
I think it is, too. Dude, yeah. I've had you on for style advice in the past, I believe, and then confidence, I think, was one of the episodes, and now we're doing the social element. So either way, bro, it's fucking fantastic to chat with you again.
My pleasure, bro.
It's always good. Yeah, we keep in touch on Facebook too, relatively often, and you know, helping each other out and just kind of supporting each other. And you're one of my best friends online and in this kind of entrepreneurial world. So it's definitely a pleasure, man. It's great to have you on and catch up as well.
Absolutely, man. You know, I'm so glad we have a lot of things in common with personal development. We're both podcasters. And by the way, congrats on your new book. You know, like I know the hard work it takes to write and publish a book. So congrats on that. And yeah, you know, we share that vision for entrepreneurship and living a life that's true to ourselves and that we design, right? So yeah, I'm not surprised that we're both very close because as you know, there's not many people we can talk about stuff like this outside of a very specific circle of friends.
Yeah, it's true. I meet a lot of people and, you know, I'll tell them what I do. Eventually it pops up and it's like, what the hell is that? What do you do? Hold on. There's actually, exactly. That's a real thing. I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, it's a real thing.
Yeah. I usually get asked like, what did you go to school for? Not this.
Yeah. If only they taught this stuff in school, I think the world would be a much better place if they taught entrepreneurial type things and some of the more, I mean, cause you think about it too. I talked about this too on the show in the past and I've been talking about it with people here and there, but the world is radically changing, man. Like unbelievable. Like this has never happened before, what we're currently experiencing in the past, just like 5 years alone with the smartphones and the social media, the Instagram, oh, yeah. The Snapchat, the smart TV, like just technology has taken over like you wouldn't believe. Even 10 years ago, it wasn't this crazy and it was semi-normal like it was, you know, in the 90s and stuff. And it was just kind of gradually changing. But over the last like 5 years, man, it's just had such an incredible impact on our lives. And I think more and more people have to get in touch with what's going on and prepare for this changing world that we're living in, especially economically wise. The economy's changing, jobs are changing. You got to touch into what's happening and not be living in the past or what is going to be the past very soon.
Exactly. It's funny because I've talked to a few parents about what I do as a social skills coach, and I tell them, you know, I specialize working with engineers, programmers, and developers, and their eyes like, their eyes widen and they're like, oh my God, can you help my kid, right? Because I truly feel like, you know, the kids that are growing up right now, you know, like what they call tablet toddlers, right? You know, at a young age, they're so, you know, tech savvy, they've lost the ability to, you know, like have a face-to-face conversation with their peers and their attention span is so short, you know, they're always fidgeting and they can't maintain, you know, like a proper conversation just because technology has replaced, you know, like going out and playing in the playgrounds and mingling with the other kids. Now kids just meet online, right? Through video games and stuff.
Yeah, it's very strange, man. You bring up a great point with the younger generation, especially getting lost in what it means to converse or communicate interpersonally with other people and have these relationships and build that. It's a skill. Like anything, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. It is a skill. Socializing is a skill. Confidence is a skill that can be worked and harnessed and mastered at some point. But you can't get that. You can't master it if you don't have the foundations of it. And all those foundations start at a young age. I mean, toddler tablet. I haven't heard that term, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I have little nephews and nieces and stuff, and I see it even now. Man, they're getting a little older. But even when, you know, in the last couple of years when they were younger, constantly on tablets and the iPads, and like now they're always on cell phones. It's ridiculous. They're glued to that screen. I'm like, just take a break, man. Just go outside and play in the leaves and, you know, play ball or do something, you know, that normal kids 10, 20 years ago used to do all the time. You guys are nuts. Like, and it's not just them either. It's pretty much across the board, all younger kids.
Exactly. One of the most common things that I see with a lot of my clients in my social skills coaching program who suffer socially, all of them had, you know, like really bad video game addiction when they're younger, right? So it's one of those things where, you know, like kind of like what you said, social confidence can be developed and it's like a muscle, right? You know, so, you know, for everyone who's listening, who actually goes to the gym, you know, like imagine taking a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks off from the gym. When you go back, first of all, you're not motivated. Number two, after your first workout, you're super sore. Now imagine never have gone through the gym your entire life, right? Imagine how you feel going to the gym for the first time. And metaphorically, that's why these guys suffer, you know, socially, because first of all, they lack awareness. And number two, they're so socially inexperienced. And now, you know, after a certain age, like, you know, 21, 25, and then when they're coming to me, they're in their late 20s. Unfortunately, society has this expectation on men, you know, for the most part, that, you know, like being able to go out and meet people, and be social, that's just like something that you should know. You know what I mean? It's funny because a lot of people who take my program, something that they tell me is that they're embarrassed to admit that they're taking this program, because in their heads, they're like, this should have been like something that I knew. And I tell them like, well, how can you know something if no one has ever taught you how, right? So, you know, self-compassion is really a big thing that they need to develop as well.
Yeah, it's the same thing with any of these skills too. Like, for instance, the dating sphere is like, you know, how other people who are fine with relationships and fine with dating women and, you know, they don't have any problem in that domain. They look at someone like you or I in the past where, you know, we signed up for coaching or we bought a program or we got a course online. And it's like, you guys actually did that shit? Like, what the hell's wrong with you? Didn't you just learn that? Didn't your father teach you how to talk to girls? And it's like, you know, actually, no, we didn't
not at
that
all.
Shit. And, you know, over the course of time, we got really bad at it, but we actually had to go through some of these steps and put ourselves through this this period of like relearning and or actually learning in the first place how these things work and how social dynamics work and psychology works. And, you know, now we're pretty damn good at it, and you know, socially, especially like you and I are pretty good socially. You know, it's a skill that can be learned like anything else. But you actually now have kind of pivoted a little bit from the last time I think we talked, and you're working almost strictly with these STEM professionals. And first of all, what does STEM mean? What is that?
So STEM is an acronym that stands for science, technology, engineering, math. And the reason why I've narrowed down with these people, well, number one, I was a STEM professional myself, you know, back in the day. Well, that's my education. I went to school for structural design. And after, you know, when I graduated, I worked for a lot of different engineering companies as a structural designer. And it's funny because whether I work with someone who's a software developer, a computer programmer, you know, a fellow engineer, you know, like, every single one of them, including myself, you know, like we all have the same background, right? You know, we go to work. We're not really paid to be, you know, I hate to say it, but we're not paid based on how charismatic or social we are. We're paid on our technical skills, right? So if you imagine a typical day for a STEM professional, you know, a developer, a computer, an engineer, or a programmer, they sit in front of a computer, right? They're in a very logical headspace, you know, like looking at spreadsheets, designing blueprints and stuff like that. But then, you know, like a lot of them struggle to, you know, like switch their headspace from something more logical to something more emotional when happy hour hits, you know, like they're going out with their friends, they're on a date, right? You know, their brain is so one track minded just because they spend the majority of their day, they spend the majority of their days, you know, thinking logically. So it's hard for them to connect emotionally with people. Number one, because they've never been taught how. And number two, they don't have a lot of experience. So it makes perfect sense that I just work with those people exclusively.
Yeah, it's almost like these guys are the canary in the coal mine, so to speak, of what's going to happen to all these tablet toddlers that are going on right now. Like, these guys have been doing this for years where they have been socially left out, so to speak, in the cold, and they don't know how to do some of these things. They've been focusing on technology, focusing on logic, focusing on working with computers all day long, and they haven't actually developed that skill that we're talking about here to converse and socialize with other people. All these tablet toddlers, these younger kids, this younger generation, even kids, you know, in their teenage years right now, they're just so missing out on so many things socially. All these kids in 10, 20 years from now, they're going to be these STEM professional type of guys. Whether they work in that field or not, they're going to lack those skills that are critical to being a human, communicating with other people and being happy. Because at the end of the day, what it all boils down to is just being happy, because human beings connect. Human beings are happy by connecting with other people, by creating these relationships, whether they're intimate relationships or whether they're just friendships. We need to be around other people. And to do that, you need to be able to converse and socialize and have that skill. All these STEM professionals that you're talking about and all these younger generation kids that are missing out on that, 10, 20 years from now, they're going to be unhappy. They're going to be the kids with anxiety or depression or have these problems with self-esteem. It's a real thing, man. And I truly, I applaud what you're doing and working with these guys specifically, because, you know, you're going to be changing the landscape of how to articulate and work around this struggle when it inevitably pops up in a couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. And not to mention their professional success is going to be limited, you know, because, you know, like to get into management roles, right, you'll be doing less of the technical work and now you're going to be managing people. If you lack the leadership and communication skills to be able to, you know, like lead people at work and get them to follow you and, you know, like get, you know, get everyone's, compliance and cooperation, you know, if you lack those skills, you know, like not only are you going to miss out on, you know, like more money in your career, but you know, like you're going to be very limited with the opportunities that you're going to have, right? Especially with, you know, a lot of things now moving into automation, you know, AI replacing a lot of these jobs, right? You know, from back in the day, you know, like if you don't have any people skills, then you're definitely not just going to be left behind in your personal life, but also in your professional life too.
Yeah. It's one thing you gotta find that balance of going into the future, like we talked about earlier. You got to prepare for this incredible transformation that's currently happening right now, but will certainly be taking over in the next few years, like 3 to 5 years, 10 years for sure, that is happening economically and jobs wise, and just thinking about the future and tapping into what's, you know, how to prepare yourself, get online, get your business online, or, you know, start a business that's going to be online, or just get ahead of the curve and don't be left behind, because it is dramatically changing. You got to think ahead and be on your toes and prepare for that. But at the same time, you can't put all your eggs in that basket, because you're going to end up like one of these STEM guys who has trouble communicating and socializing with other people. It's almost like, you know, it's a double-edged sword in some ways. You're trying to do one thing, but at the same time, you're harming yourself by not focusing on the other thing. You got to actually do both of them. You got to really find a balance here, not neglect one thing or the other.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, you know, like we need people, right? You know, it's people who hire us for the job. It's people who give us paychecks. It's people who give us promotions. You know, like you can't just, you know, like put all your focus on and energy on academic success. You know, I read a research somewhere that, you know, in the United States, a typical, you know, people spend, you know, like upwards of $30,000 per year, you know, to get their degree, right? So like if you're spending that kind of money to succeed professionally, why wouldn't you invest some of that to help you succeed, you know, personally, right? With your ability to communicate with people, because as you know, like after a certain amount of money, you know, like you don't need, beyond that, like you need, kind of like what you said earlier, you need human connections in order to live a more happy and fulfilled life, right? You can't just, you know, go to work, go home and do it again 5, 6, 7 days a week. Like, bro, like some of the clients that I've worked with, they're in their 40s, man, like never had a girlfriend, barely has any friends. And now at this point, they're like, they have so much regret. They're beating themselves up. And every day they tell me, you know, like before they took the program, it feels like there's a glass wall that separates them from connecting with other people. And man, like I really feel for these people, because, you know, like to be deprived of that connection for so long, like I can only imagine what it's like, right? To go through every single day wanting to connect with people, but they don't know how.
Hey, just a quick reminder, just about all the links that we reference throughout the episodes can be found within the show notes. So if you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or if you're just listening directly on the website at elitemanmagazine.com, just scroll down to the bottom and you can see most of the show's links directly there. Just assume that all the links are affiliate links. Not all of them, but many of them are. But assume that they all are. And by you clicking on that link, it's just a small contribution to help continue the Elite Man podcast. I don't get a ton of money out of the affiliate links that we have on there, but I do get a small, tiny percentage of what you end up purchasing with no extra charge on your end. So just think of it as a charity gift donation to the Elite Man podcast for giving you tremendous content week in and week out. I sincerely appreciate when you purchase a book or product or service from one of these links, and so don't the authors and guests who come on the show and deliver their incredible value. So make sure you check out those show notes when you do want to make a purchase, or check something out even further. It helps me out, it helps the guests out, and it helps the show out. What are some of the steps that guys can take who are lacking in this, whether they are a STEM professional like we're talking about here, or whether they're just an ordinary guy who lacks some of those social skills and the ability to communicate, converse with other people, build those relationships, those friendships, so they don't end up like that 45-year-old guy who doesn't have any friends, never had a girlfriend, is very unhappy. Not that there's no saving that guy, and I'm sure we'll talk about how that guy can pull himself out of it too, but what do you do right now if you're in your 20s and 30s and you're lacking the skill?
For sure. So, well, the first thing you want to do is you want to master your mindset, right? You know, a lot of the, a big thing that I notice with the clients that I've worked with is that they have a bad habit of beating themselves up, you know, and like, look, you know, nobody's perfect. We all have flaws. But the thing is, you get more of what you focus on, right? Like for me, you know, I'm 5'5", right? You know, I'm Filipino. At one point in my life, I used to be embarrassed about my race because, you know, like, a lot of Filipinos, especially in Canada, they work like low level jobs, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm a minority. And, you know, I can focus on all those things, or I can shift my focus into my strengths, right? You know, the things that are going well in my life, right? And something that I tell my guys all the time is that you get more of what you focus on. So if you focus on your weaknesses, then you're going to feel bad. But if you keep, you know, appreciating yourself, you know, focusing on what you're doing well in your life, then you're going to feel better, right? And it's one of those things where your ability to control yourself and your ability to feel good is what's going to make other people feel good around you. So that's number one, man. You just got, you know, like you gotta be able to control your mind and consciously shift your focus from what you're lacking to what's going well in your life. That's number one. Number two is you gotta learn how to present yourself. You know, as you know, you never get a second chance to make a great first impression. So, you know, like, taking care, controlling the controllables, right? Taking care of your style, right? You know, like with a few thousand dollars, you can get like an epic wardrobe and you're going to be turning heads anywhere and everywhere you go, you know, getting a cool haircut for like 30, 50 bucks once a month, you know, going to the gym three times a week, you know, improving your body language. You know, I don't care how, you know, short or out of shape you are, you know, with some simple effort, you can definitely make yourself more attractive by going to the gym, grooming yourself well, and dressing better. And then number three would be your conversation skills, right? You know, when a lot of guys that I've worked with, they have, they tell their stories in a very logical way, right? This happened and this happened and this happened. You know, if you want to improve your conversation skills today, talk about how things make you feel, right? You know, because at the end of the day, you know, like there's two ways to relate. You can relate logically, or you can relate emotionally. Now, if you're chatting with someone and both of you are talking about the same topic, then awesome. But what if you're chatting with someone and you're talking about something that the other person can't relate to? And this is a problem that I see with a lot of STEM professionals, right? You know, their ability to communicate is limited to logical conversations. So by adding a more emotional component in the way they tell their stories, they become, number one, more relatable. Number two, their stories become way more engaging and way more interesting. And lastly, number four, man, just like if you just add a social component to your hobbies and interests, because something that I tell my clients is this, right? Mutual interest is the foundation of every great relationship. It's so much easier to spend time with people who likes the same things as you, right? So if you're the kind of person who, you know, like you're not particularly fond of going to loud bars and clubs, you don't have to, you know, you just have to be a little bit more intentional about where you go. As long as the place that you're going to is something that you enjoy and there's people to meet there, then that's a really good venue for you to spend time and connect with people. Like if you just do those four things on a weekly basis, I promise you, you're gonna transform yourself and go from shy to social in a matter of months.
Yeah, let's break a couple of these things down and just kind of get a little more in depth with them. But I love all four steps, man. The first one is mindset, which you said, focusing on being more positive throughout the day. There's a study out there somewhere that says about 70% of our thoughts throughout the day, this is an average person too, about 70% of their thoughts throughout the day are negative or non-productive thoughts. And that number actually goes up even higher to like the 90s if you are a depressed person or an anxious person, just constantly all day long throughout the day, your waking hours, you're just thinking of negative things or non-productive things. I mean, that is staggering if you think about it. You just go back to the average person, 70%. That's the overwhelming majority of the time you're thinking about something negative or non-productive. Just simply tapping into positive thoughts, positive thinking, and just being more aligned with what you want in your life, just taking little breaks out there. I believe it was Dr. Rick Hansen too talked about this, the guy who wrote Buddha's book, Buddha's Brain, wrote a book called Buddha's Brain. He talks about taking little breaks about every half hour, an hour, and just thinking of like a positive thing for like a minute or two, and then getting that feeling through your body, it actually will literally change the chemistry inside your body and will change the thoughts that you're having for the next few hours when you can do that. So you tap away from all the negative thinking and the non-productive thinking, and you just switch back into the positive side. Even for a couple of hours, this will literally change how you're thinking for the rest of the day.
No, 100%. And that's why I encourage everyone who's listening right now to have a daily practice of gratitude. You know, like start your, you know, don't even touch your phone. You know, like I encourage everyone to, you know, like buy a nice journal and a nice pen. And then, you know, start your day with just, you know, meditating. You know, personally, I like to use a guided meditation app. If you're a beginner with meditation, you know, I think Headspace is a really good way to get started into a meditation practice. And then afterwards, you know, grab your notebook and just write down, you know, three things you like about yourself and or three things that you're thankful for, you know, and you know, don't rush into this, right? You know, like really take a moment to, you know, like feel and feel the appreciation, you know, kind of like what you said, you know, if you consciously shift your mind to come up with things that are going well in your life and you take the time to feel it, if you do this over time, you know, like you'll notice a big change in your self-image and how you feel about yourself, which will therefore influence how other people feel about you.
I love that. You know what else too, bro, that's absolutely killing people these days as far as happiness and depression goes and negative thinking? It's social media and it's your phone. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, what have you found, or what do you do throughout the day just to untap or unhinge yourself from being obsessed with social media? Like, it's not just me. It's not you. It's literally everybody listening to this call right now, this interview. We're all in some way obsessed with social media or our phones. Like, there's got to be a better way of navigating through life and throughout our day without just being obsessed with it. So is there anything that you found that works for you to just kind of untap yourself from that stuff?
For sure. So let me just say something here. First of all, I think social media is amazing. You know, that's how you and I became friends.
Yeah.
And for the record, Justin and I have never met in person yet, but you know, yeah. I consider you to be one of my really good friends, right? Just because of the way we've interacted on social media. So I think, you know, like I think social media is great if you know how to use it, which is basically, you know, to be social, right? To, you know, like reach out and create connections with people and then, you know, get out of social media and actually, you know, like ideally like meet people in person, or if not, you know, get on the phone and be social, right? So use social media purposely. Number two, unfollow anybody who's making you jealous or is making you feel inadequate, right? Or is making you feel like you're not enough, or you're not doing, you know, good things in your life. Like personally, bro, I've unfollowed a lot of those accounts, you know, those people, you know, like to me, the way I see it, it's selective ignorance, right? You know, if I don't have to expose myself to those types of information, then I wouldn't, you know, like I filter out the people that I keep in touch with on social media and who I follow on Instagram specifically, but just because I want to control the type of media that I put in my head, right? And then number three, I have a rule for myself, you know, like typically I have like three main things that I need to do every day, and I want to get them done before 11 o'clock. So if I get, you know, like typically it's like one personal thing and two business thing, or like two personal thing and one business thing. As long as I get those done by 11 o'clock, then my day's good. Then I can give myself that opportunity to, you know, kind of mess around on social media. Because it's one of those things where, you know, like whatever you resist persists, right? It's kind of like, you know, drinking. You know, is drinking bad? Well, it depends. You know, like if you drink too much, then it's bad. But then if you don't drink, then you're like, you know, like you're missing out, right? Yeah. It's fear based. You know, so same thing with social media. For me to tell people that, like, oh, stop using social media when everyone's using it, I think that's also not great advice. So my thing is, you know, like make arrangements with yourself, right? My suggestion is this: as long as you get the most important things done in your day, then yeah, you know, like give yourself some time, an hour a day to just like mess around with social media, you know, kill your craving, so to speak, and then move on, right? That's what I say.
Yeah, no, I love those tips actually for sure. And the only one thing I would add is simply just putting your phone down for a few hours. It's kind of like the last point you made too, which is giving yourself that, you know, hour or two a day to go on and actually do what you got to do. And, you know, you're going to hop on, you're going to check your phone. There was a study too, I forget the exact numbers, but it's something like 40-something, 47 or 48 times is how many times the average person checks their phone a day, which sounds kind of crazy. I think that was like the lower end too. I think it went all the way up to like 70, between 47 to like 70-something times is what people do, how many times they check their phone a day. So you're going to check your phone. You know, if you get a buzz or if you get a little, you know, ping, you know that someone texted you or you got a comment on your Facebook post or whatever it is, if you get notifications for, you know those things are popping up. You're going to check it. You're a human being. But not like going on it for 20, 30, 40 minutes at a time every single time it buzzes, but just, you know, giving yourself a break. And then the one thing that I was going to say that I was going to add is putting your phone away when you're doing something. Like say you're going off to work and you're working for, you know, 3 hours or something, or you're working at home. If you're an entrepreneur, you're doing something online, you have to, you know, do something for the next 2-3 hours. Put your phone in another room, put it on silent, put it off, and just get it away from your sights for at least a few hours, or at least the time that you're going to be doing work in. Because if you have it next to you and it does start buzzing, it does start ringing or pinging, you're going to look at it. You're going to be distracted. The next thing you know, it's going to take 2, 5, 10, 20 minutes away from what you're doing and just make you so much more unproductive.
Exactly. And one last thing that I'll say on top of that, I agree with everything you said. If you can just like turn off your notifications, right? So that little like red dot doesn't show up on your like on your Instagram or Facebook or whatever, or your email. You know, if you can just turn off your notifications and then schedule time every single day that you check your mail and your email and your messages. I think that way you don't, you know, like you can still like keep in touch with people, but you're not always being interrupted.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think our buddy, our good mutual friend, Joe Dukar, does the same thing. He actually, I think he deleted his Instagram or something. He said last time I had him on, and I was like, I thought something happened to him, because I was, you know, I used to talk to him like once a week at least, and there was like 3 or 4 months where I haven't heard from the guy. But apparently he's a lot happier. He deleted it altogether, and he goes on. He's got like he'll pull it up on his laptop somehow. He's got like
desktop.
Yeah. Pulls it up on his somehow and just texts his like messages and stuff when he needs to check it, and then he'll hop off it for, you know, whatever, a few days or months or whatever the hell he does. I don't know. But he seems to be a lot happier when he's taking control of that and not letting it take control of him, which is pretty cool. I respect it. So the other thing you mentioned too was focusing on the controllables, going to the gym, getting a cool haircut, getting your style down. How important really is this, and how much should guys be focused? How much time out of the day should guys be dedicating to this type of thing?
So first of all, let me just say, right, you know, like, you know, we all judge each other based on what we see, right? You know, like, I don't care if you're the smartest guy out there, you've traveled, you know, like so many different countries, you've read, you know, a lot of different books. If you don't look like a person worth getting to know, unfortunately, not many people will take the time out of their day to interact with you, right? And you know, keep in mind that, you know, like you're always communicating, right? Based on what you wear, based on how you stand, you know, the look on your face, you're always communicating. Now the question is, are you communicating intentionally or unintentionally, right? You know, this is something that I've talked to with a lot of my clients in my social skills coaching program. You know, like if you don't take, you know, having good style is like having the best wingman ever, right? Because if you're dressed well, you've got a cool haircut, you know, like you're fit, you know, and you don't have to be like super jacked, you know, just don't have like a, you know, protruding belly. As long as you're like kind of in shape, you've got good posture, automatically, right? Like you look like someone worth getting to know, you look like a high value person, therefore people will treat you like such, right? And it's one of those things where, you know, like we're not all genetically gifted. Like I'm not tall, I'm only 5'5". And at one point I used to weigh 200 pounds. And Justin, believe me, you know, ever since I've lost the weight, I'm in shape, you know, I got good posture, and I've taken care of my style and my grooming, like people treat me a lot differently. So it's one of those things, right? Like, do you want to spend a little bit of time, you know, like going to the gym, eating healthy, you know, like taking care of your posture, dressing better, you know, grooming yourself, right? But then look at the benefits, right? Like number one, most people will take you seriously. Number two, you know, like women will find you more attractive. Number three, a lot of guys would want to be your friend because you look like a cool dude, right? And number four, right, you're just going to feel better about yourself because you like what you see in the mirror, right? So it's one of those things where, you know, like a bit of work goes a long way, and the benefits are tremendous. So to answer your question, you know, like, man, like just get a haircut like once a month. You know, like I would start with like a minimalist wardrobe, like a couple pairs of jeans, you know, a couple dress pants, you know, pair of boots, you know, sneakers, some t-shirts, a couple button-ups, you know, a casual jacket, a dressed-up jacket, an outer coat if you live in a colder city like myself, and like a nice bag, and you know, like some nice gym clothes. Like that doesn't cost you a lot of money, especially if you buy your clothes at the right time of the year, like, you know, Black Friday, you know, or in between seasons. Like that's when most stuff goes on sale. And if you're not sure where to start, you know, just figure out whose style you resonate with the most, right? You know, go to Google, go to Pinterest, go to Instagram, go through a couple of style accounts, you know, save these images. And then from then on, compare the look you're trying to go for with the current wardrobe you have now, and then make a list of the things you need to buy. And that's really it, man. It's super, super simple. And going to the gym, you know, like I'm no fitness expert, but, you know, personally, if you're only going to go to the gym 3 days a week, focus on compound movements like squats, bench, deadlift. Eat mostly whole foods, right? You know, get 8 hours of sleep per day. Like that's basically the majority of the work that that's like the small effort that you need to put in to get the majority of the benefits when it comes to health and fitness. So that's what I think about that.
Yeah, it definitely has the biggest ROI, return on investment, for sure. And you know, there's so many things that you could nitpick about, but I think just getting those foundational things down is really the key here, and not going crazy about it. Like we're talking about, you know, getting a wardrobe here, dressing nicer. You don't have to drop thousands of dollars on your wardrobe. You can literally get nice shit. I mean, it sounds stupid to say, but you can literally get like nice shirts at Walmart nowadays, or Target, and for like 10, 15 yeah. bucks. And no one would ever know you got it from Walmart or Target. And, you know, it fits you. It looks good on you. It's a cool style. Like, you know, you don't have to go crazy with this, but just going out and actually finding some nicer shit that looks good is going to go a long way in making you happy. And same thing goes with the gym. Same thing goes with your diet. Same thing goes with the haircut that you get. All these things add up over time and just contribute to making you a happier, more confident person. And I always say this too, it's not about being at that end result, like, you know, having all the shirts that you want to have and all the shoes that you want and all the pants and, you know, being jacked and ripped and having a perfect diet. You don't have to be at the end result right now. You just have to be working towards getting to that place. That's really the magic. It's getting, you don't, you know, if you're 200 pounds like you were, you don't have to be 150 pounds ripped right now. And, you know, all the other pounds, 160 to 170 to 180, you weren't happy with yourself because you weren't there. You're working towards that goal. And that's really the key to being happy and confident, is knowing that you're doing everything that you're doing to get to that place you want to be. And in that process, you can still be incredibly confident and happy. So I love all that, man. It's a lot of great information. The next thing you mentioned was storytelling, which I think mm-hmm. is key too. How do you add more emotion into your stories? How do you become a better storyteller? Because, you know, like, I'm surprised you mentioned this too, but I think it's such a critical component too, as far as conversing goes. We, as human beings, as a civilization, like we talked about at length now, we're just missing that factor of conversing, because we're spending so much time on our phones and on our laptops and iPads and all this other crap. But storytelling is a huge component of that. Storytelling is probably one of the biggest components to actually being a good conversationalist. And I think so many people are actually missing this aspect, which is critical, but often overlooked.
For sure. So one of the things that I tell my guys is this, right? You know, familiarity breeds comfort. You know, we like people who are similar to us. Unfortunately, the majority of guys who struggle socially, number one, I hate to say this, but I'll say it anyway, their lives are just not interesting, right? Yeah. They go to work, they go home, they binge on Netflix, they hang out with the same people every weekend, rinse, repeat for months and years, right? So, I mean, let's get real, you know, if that's your typical schedule, it's going to be very hard for you to relate with people, just because you don't have a lot of experiences, life experiences, to relate to people in general, right? So number one, in order to become an engaging conversationalist, do something different every single week, right? Like you want to expand your palate, so to speak, you know, like acquire as much life experience as you can, you know, travel if you can, you know, try new things, try new food, you know, take up different hobbies and interests. That way, number one, your life just becomes more interesting. And number two, when you talk to people, you'll have, you know, different things to talk about, just because you've done a lot of things, right? And number two, kind of like what I mentioned earlier, when you're telling your stories, you know, like I always encourage my guys to prepare their stories ahead of time. You know, for example, when you meet someone for the first time, you know, like the topic of work and hobbies always come up, right? Like you meet someone, what's your name? I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you, whatever. And then, you know, what do you do for work? You know, that question comes up. And then after that, what do you do for fun? And then where are you from, right? So work, hobbies, and your upbringing, you know, like, you know, anticipate that a lot of small talk is going to revolve around those three things in general, right? So use that to your advantage, you know, take advantage of the fact that those topics will come up over and over again. So, you know, just think to yourself, right? You know, like, you know, let's start with your career. What do you like most about your career, right? What got you into it? How does it make you feel? What about your hobbies? You know, what do you do for fun? Same thing. How does it feel when you're participating in those activities? And your upbringing, you know, is there anything unique about where you're from? You know, like, do you have like a special relationship with your parents? You know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, by preparing those stories ahead of time, you're going to feel more confident. And the example that I always give is this, right? If you've ever written an exam that you didn't study for, you probably felt pretty anxious, right? But then, you know, the opposite is also true. If you've ever, you know, really taken the time to prepare before you wrote an exam, then you would feel more relaxed and confident. The same goes with conversation. The more you understand your stories, and if you've practiced telling your stories in advance and, like, you know, like lower risk setting, so to speak, then when, you know, the moment comes when you're, you know, at a social gathering, right? You're on a date, or you're at a networking event, because you've prepared and practiced ahead of time, you're going to be a lot more confident in those social situations when you tell people your stories.
Yeah, 100%, dude. And you know, it sounds kind of weird to do, but just practicing something, like, you know what's going to pop up. Like you mentioned before, the job's going to pop up, the hobbies are going to pop up, where you're from's going to pop up. Just practice. You can even practice in front of a mirror and get good at making whatever you're going to say in those situations a little bit more interesting. Add in some emotion, add in some different elements that maybe surprise people or are a little bit different. Instead of just saying, you know, you work a 9-to-5 job and, you know, work at the office, switch it up a little bit. Like, you can make that a lot more spicy, a lot more sexier just by thinking about it. And, you know, almost like I'm thinking in my own mind too, what I've done in the past, like using kind of the writer's mentality of making things sound a little bit better. Like, you write something out the first time, it sounds kind of boring, it's a little shitty, you know, it's like the same words are kind of being used over and over again. Then you go back to it, you change some of the words around, you use some synonyms that sound a little cooler, and, you know, you just fix it up a little. You can do the exact same thing. It's the same exact process. You can sit in front of a mirror and make that story 10 times sexier, 10 times more exciting and more appealing. And then you have that arm. You're armed with that. You go out in different situations or events, social events, and now all of a sudden you're not just the boring 9-to-5 guy. You're this guy who has this incredible story. Yeah, that's a part of your life, and nothing really changed. Like you talked about actually going out and changing those things, which is important. But even the basic things like your job is a lot cooler. You can make it sound a lot better just by practicing it a little bit and, you know, working on that. But the final thing you mentioned too, the only thing I want to ask you about this one, because I love this one, but what is the, you know, mutual interest, getting together with other people? What is the best thing that you found for the people who don't like going to bars or nightclubs? What are some of the best ways that they can find to get that place that they actually enjoy, that they like, that they're comfortable with, and getting around those other people who have those mutual interests as them?
For sure. So in my program, I work with a lot of introverts, and, you know, like I would consider myself a bit of both. You know, like, I enjoy occasionally going to bars and clubs, you know, especially with friends. Just, you know, it's fun, you know, music's good, you know, sometimes you just want to let loose or celebrate. But then I also enjoy, you know, like more quiet environments, right? Like coffee shops and lounges and, you know, like, you know, just like more intimate settings and stuff. So with my guys, you know, I always say that you want to play games that you can win. And to illustrate this point, I don't know if you've read this book. It's called Atomic Habits. James Clear had a quote there. He said, "In hot water, an egg hardens and a potato softens. You can't control whether you're an egg or a potato." And I thought that was so profound, because at the end of the day, you know, like, if you know who you are, if you know your strengths and you know your weaknesses, then you're able to put yourself in situations where you're most likely to thrive, right? You know, for example, if you're an introvert and you're not, you know, like, naturally loud or, you know, like, crazy outgoing, then don't go to environments where that's going to be the norm, right? You know, you might want to go to a coffee shop, You know, you might want to join like a fitness class, a dance class, whatever, you know, play the, know who you are, embrace yourself, own who you are, play the, your strengths and put yourself in situations where you're most likely to win. You know, and all it takes is a bit of research, right? And the best thing that you know, most guys can do who are introverted is to figure out their hobbies and interests and then find a way to add a social component to it. So for example, if you're someone who likes to read, don't read at home, go to a coffee shop, right? You know, like a nice trendy coffee shop where, you know, it's a little bit upscale, you know, the coffee's a little bit more expensive, because typically, you know, from my experience, people who go there are creative, you know, they're also thoughtful. And number one, you know, like you can still read your book. And number two, if you want to, now you have an opportunity to start a conversation and make friends with people. Because at the end of the day, you know, like nothing happens if you don't leave your house, and you can't meet the right people if you go to the right place. And number three, if you're not having fun, then no one's going to have fun when they're around you.
Love it, bro. So many great tips in this episode, man. I really appreciate you coming back on. What is a last send-off takeaway message you'd like to leave the Elite Man audience, and then a place that our listeners can check out your work?
I would say, you know, at the end of the day, like the most, if you want to have a good relationship with other people, you should have a good relationship with yourself first. And I always tell my clients that, you know, self-love starts with having a positive self-talk, right? So if you're the kind of person who, you know, makes a mistake, you beat yourself up, right? Like imagine if you talk to other people the way you talk to yourself, you probably wouldn't have a lot of friends, right? So my last piece of advice here is you want to talk to yourself like the most important person in your life, because you are, right? Like you live with yourself, you know, like you're the, you know, like you have to have a good relationship with yourself if you want to have a good relationship with people. So that's my last tip. And for everyone here who wants to keep in touch, you can go to my website. Just go to socialconfidencemastery.com. I've got a podcast. Justin's been there many, many times. Check out our conversation together. Same thing on YouTube, Social Confidence Mastery, and on Instagram as well, where I post actionable tips to help you become more social, confident, and charismatic.
Thanks again for coming back on, bro. I'll talk to you soon. I know our guys are going to love this one. So take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Justin.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.